Today is our harvest thanksgiving, when we give thanks to God for the riches of the earth, for the fruits and vegetables that grow, all the food and drink we enjoy, and we can see some of those things maybe in front of us in church this morning. I wonder if you brought anything. Did you bring anything? Some of you? Well, people brought some of these things, so thank you very, very much. We're also today thinking about how we can share what we have with others. And after the service, we will be raising money from these goodies here to give to those who have very little in our world. So in this service, we're thinking about two things. We're thinking about giving thanks to God for all he's given us. And we're thinking about being generous, sharing what we have with others. And to help us think about those two things, we're going to reflect on our gospel reading we just heard a little bit more. The story tells us about a man who didn't give thanks to God for what he had and didn't share what he had with others. So I'm going to tell the story again. I'm going to tell it by reading a version of it I have here. And it has got in it some wonderful pictures. So I'm going to show the pictures to the children at the front. I think you might have to imagine the pictures at the back there. It's a book called The Rich Farmer. And it's based on that story Jesus told. Here is a farmer who is very rich. The farmer is rich because his soil is rich and his corn grows faster than anyone else's. Can you see the farmer, Samuel? And you see the corn growing? It grows faster than everyone else's and higher than everyone else's. Can you see it's very high, all that corn there? Can you see it? At harvest time, he has much more of it than anyone else. Lucky man. Look at him. He's very happy on top of all his corn there. Can you see it? And this year, he's got so much corn that his old barn can't hold it all. It's bursting at the seams. Can you see there? There's something kind of coming out of the barn because it's so full. No problem, says the farmer. I will pull it down and build a bigger barn. And then next year, I will be rich enough to take life easy. So he builds a bigger barn. And there he is. He's got his plans. Can you see? He's got a drawing of the bigger barn that he's going to build. He's going to build a much, much bigger barn to put all his crops in. But when the harvest comes round again, can you guess? The new barn is not big enough because the greedy farmer has planted more corn than before and some carrots too. Okay, you can see his barn is there, his corn. He's still got some baskets of corn that won't fit in, and he's also got a few carrots that he's put in as well that won't fit in. No problem, says the farmer. I will build an even bigger, better barn, and then next year I will be richer still, and I can really enjoy myself. So he builds an even bigger, better barn. There he is. He's got all the wood there to build this special barn. But at harvest time, even the bigger, better barn is not big enough. Again, the farmer has planted too much corn, too many carrots, and a few cabbages as well. So there he is. He's got there. It's a very big barn. Things are coming out of it, and he's got cabbages, he's got carrots, all that. This time, the farmer says to himself, I will build the biggest, grandest barn the world has ever seen. And then I will be so rich, I need never work again. Look at him, he's so happy. He's going to build this big barn, and then he's going to be so rich. So the barn he builds reaches up to the sky. And when the farmer has finished it, he sighs a great big sigh. Tomorrow I will gather in the harvest, and at last I will begin to enjoy myself. I will have a party. Now look at that barn. Looks like a cathedral, doesn't it? Look at that. But that very night, he dies in his sleep, just like that. So the birds eat up his corn, and the rabbits dig up his carrots, and his cabbages go to seed. Look at that. Look, the birds are having a great time. And the big barn stands empty, and the rich farmer never does get to enjoy his money. Poor man. Look at that. And Jesus says, how silly it is for a man to spend his whole life storing up riches for himself. To God, he is really a poor man. Now, I hope you are listening carefully, because I'm going to ask you some questions about that story. I want you to tell me how many people are mentioned in that story. Can you remember? I've shown you all the pictures. I've told you the story. How many people are mentioned in that story? Samuel. One. Just one. Just the rich farmer. That's the only person he's mentioned. And what does he think about? What does the rich farmer think about? Jen? He thinks about money, yeah? He thinks about his crops, his barn, but it's all really about money, isn't it? Frederick? That's now, yeah. But before he was dead, what were the things he thought about? Very good, Frederick. Yeah, before he was dead, he thought about money, he thought about his crops, his barns were too small. He was worried, how could he store everything and keep it safe? All he thinks about is the things he owns, his possessions. Okay, another question. Who does he think about, Frederick? Himself. Just himself. He doesn't think about anybody else. He certainly doesn't think about God. Now, he's been blessed by very rich land. All these crops are growing. He's very, very blessed that his land is so rich. Does he give thanks to God for his land and all the blessings he's received? Does he? No, he doesn't. In fact, he doesn't think about God at all. Maybe thinks it's down to himself that his land is so fruitful. It's all mine, he thinks. He doesn't remember that all good things that come to us are gifts from God, who created the earth and everything in it. So he doesn't think about God, who gives us the good gifts. Neither does he think about other people either, and how he can be generous to them. There are no other people mentioned in this story, as we said. If we went back through looking at all the pictures, you'll find no mention, no picture of a wife or children, any friends or neighbours, anybody at all except the farmer. So the story is just about him and his possessions. His concern is about his riches and how he can store them and keep more and more for himself. So it's all about me, my, and mine. Now, the farmer in the story is a rich man, but he's also a silly man. He's a silly man because he doesn't realize that life is more than the things we own and keep for ourselves. And in the end, the man dies. And what do all the riches and the things he's kept for himself mean for him then, when he's dead? In the end, he is missing out, because in the end, he's only really a poor man, as it says at the end of the story. Because he doesn't understand that what really makes us rich is knowing God and being thankful to God for his blessings and then being generous and sharing what we have with others. And that's true for us as well. What makes us really rich is not how much money we have in the bank or how many toys we have, but our relationship with God and with other people. Just imagine if you had so many toys in your house that your house was bursting at the seams. You couldn't fit all the toys in the house. But you had no family to love and to love you. Do you think really you would be quite a poor person, really? That's the point of the story. The more we love God and are thankful to God, the more we love others and give generously to them, the richer and fuller our life will be. In our first reading today, Paul encourages the Christians at Corinth to give generously to support others in need, and they themselves then will be enriched in every way by God. He teaches them that being thankful to God and being generous to others are connected. The Corinthians have been blessed by the surpassing grace of God, and now, as part of their thanksgiving, they are to share generously and give cheerfully to those in need. The way Paul talks about giving here, it's not about giving feeling miserable through gritted teeth. It's about giving joyfully and cheerfully. And that's true for us too. If we give things away, we're not to do it in a miserable way, not because we have to, but in a cheerful and joyful way. We give generously because we have received so much. And our giving is an overflowing of thanksgiving to God. Now, in a few moments, with the help of the children, we're going to think about one practical way that we can be generous to others in thanksgiving to God for all he's given to us. But for now, let's just remind ourselves that to love God and to be thankful to God and to share what we have with others is the best way to live a rich and fruitful life. Let's not be like the farmer who only thinks about himself. Poor man.